Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers, Issue 31. Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom drops a new trailer, and did images of Mirage just leak from the Transformers Rise of the Beasts set? I don't know, it's hard to say. The guy's invisible half the time, right? Today is Friday, July 16th, 2021, and this is episode 241 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that hopes Jumpstream's next leap will be the leap home. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
The amazing Epic.
Hello.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
How is everybody doing? Let's talk Transformers.
All right, we do have to start off on a sad note this week. Jeremy, I'm going to send it over to you.
Well, we had news on July 2nd that Felice Sampler has passed away. She's done a number of voices and live-action roles in her career. But in Transformers, she was the voice of Kelly from RID 2001. Kelly is the human character that is always driving a red sports car, and she's always getting harassed by, and now the name is escaping me, the blue sports car.
Cyburn?
Cyburn, yes. Cyburn has a fixation on red cars, and she's always driving a red car and then doesn't know why this other car is coming and hitting on her. So it's just kind of a running gag throughout the series. And she was the voice, and she sadly passed away of a heart attack just before she turned 68. One thing in this that I thought was interesting, this is that she was convinced that she was the reincarnation of Anne Askew, an English writer and poet that was put to death by Henry VIII. So, you know, maybe she'll be back. Who knows? You know, just kind of leave it on a humorous note, I guess. But, I mean, condolences to her family and friends. And she definitely left a large body of work in her career. She was on, like, so many series, a lot of, like, anime that was dubbed in the U.S.
All right. Yeah, so we wish her family well. And, yeah, condolences for their loss. And as always, we'll start the show by thanking all of our supporters for continuing to support the show. We really appreciate it. All your Donatrons out there. So thank you for continuing to help us out. If you'd like to become a Donatron, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. That's where you can sign up. And also, if any of our listeners are fans of our live play RPG podcast, Empire of Rust, this is the first and only Transformers RPG podcast. The next episode, Empire of Rust, episode 54, The Bot That Got Away, is coming out this Monday, July 19th. So this is going to be in the free feed for all of our Empire of Rust listeners. If you are a Donatron, you already have access to the advanced bonus version of this episode with lots of extra content. So that's already available to you. It came out this Monday, July 12th. So, you know, take advantage of that if you are a Donatron. But if you want the regular episode, you just have to wait a couple more days for next Monday. And we're getting closer to the season finale of Empire of Rust, so only two more episodes to the epic conclusion of Empire of Rust Season 1. And then we will jump right into Empire of Rust Season 2 with Episode 57. So look forward to that. All right, let's start off the show with some comics news. Okay, so just a couple of little bits. We've got more covers for upcoming issues. So we've got just a month before the next Transformers miniseries starts, King Grimlock, and issue number one will be out in August. And the art is being done by Augustin Padilla. He's doing the interior art. He's done work on Transformers before, primarily in the Transformers Prime comic series. So the tie-in series to the TV show. And then he did the Transformers Prime Beast Hunters comic, which focused on the Dinobots back in the day. So I think he's returning to a subject he's familiar with Grimlock.
This cover looks sweet.
Yeah. So this is cover B. And this is by the same artist, Agustin Padilla. And it's a, you know, close up on Grimlock doing an epic pose here. So this is one I'm looking forward to. I'm curious where they're going with Grimlock in this series. And it does apparently tie into the main Transformers continuity that they're currently doing, where we have not even gotten to Earth yet. So I'm curious to see how he's got a dinosaur mode, you know, after having not gone to Earth at all.
Well,
so
this is set on Earth.
Is it Earth or just another planet?
A human barbarian Arco mentioned here. Oh. It's set in...
That doesn't necessarily mean Earth.
Well, it does say he's transported to a fantastical... transported to a world of fantastical beasts. Okay.
It'd be an Earth-like world, I guess.
Yeah, so it's a Class M planet, if I use a Star Trek parlance.
I am very much looking forward to this, though. It's written by Steve Orlando, who's done great work on Wonder Woman and other books for DC. So I'm excited to see that.
All right. And we also have a cover from the next issue of the main Transformers comic. That's Transformers number 33. And this is art by the cover art is by Ed Peary, who is actually a longtime Transformers fan artist who has recently made the jump to doing professional Transformers work. He's done a couple of covers in recent last couple of years and is doing another one here. So that's cool to see Ed Peary, you know, doing some more cover work. This issue is going to focus on Bumblebee, and Bumblebee is not currently an Autobot yet. He is still kind of a fugitive from the law and, you know, very much working on his own. He's not a Decepticon, but he is not an Autobot, and he is not, he is just, you know, kind of a mercenary working for himself and working with Swendell, of all people, who is currently not a Decepticon either. So this should be interesting to see, see what Bumblebee's up to. It's been a while since we've checked in on him. So that is also coming up in August. And then we have another cover. This is the Japanese cover of IDW's Robots in Disguise, Volume 4. So this is these are Japanese language reprints of the previous IDW continuity Robots in Disguise series. So this is from, I believe these were published back in 2013. And this is Robots in Disguise, issues 17 to 22. And so this cover is by Takeshi Nakamura and features several classic characters, all rendered in the forms they had in the Robots in Disguise comic, which were based on the old War for Cybertron video game designs. So that was from 2010. So it's interesting to see these designs, you know, back in the spotlight for this this reprint of this comic. So you know, so if you're looking for the Japanese language version of these comics, this is available in Japan. This will be released August 2nd, 2021, so just a less than a month from now. And for all our Japanese Transformers fans who are interested in the American IDW comics, they've been doing these releases pretty steadily, so hope they're being enjoyed. And that's all the comics news we have, so we will move on to our comic review.
All right, we are looking at Transformers number 31. It's written by Brian Ruckley. Art is by Anna Malkova on pages 1 through 13 and Angel Hernandez pages 13 through 20. Colors by David Garcia Cruz. Letters by J. Kim Wood. Editor is David Mariette. Assistant editor is Riley Farmer. Supervising editor is Tom Waltz. So there are three covers. Cover A has Jumpstream and various locations around Cybertron. This is by Diego Novanum Zuniga and Sid Vin Blue. Cover B has Jumpstream appearing to a familiar yet unknown reality. This is by Chris Panda. And the retailer incentive has Optimus Prime and Ultra Magnus. This is by George I screw this up every time, I'm sure. Calsudas? I am so sorry. That,
close enough.
It's a rough name. Daryl, let's start with you. Which one of these three?
Well, I probably have to say I like the... I think I'm going to go with cover A. I think I like cover A the best. Lines are really clean. I like the effect on cover B, but it really only shows jump stream. So I'm going to go with cover A.
Epic, how about you?
I have to agree with Daryl. I checked these out, and especially after reading the story, I really appreciate the cover A and like what the different backgrounds and everything mean and stuff. So yeah, cover A. I just also like the artwork style of it a lot more than the other ones.
Charles?
I'm going to agree that I think cover A is the best rendered artwork here. As Daryl said, the lines are really clean. I like the Megatron and Optimus in the background. I think those are really well done. And Jumpstream looks good, too.
I mean, I have to admit, that is a good cover. But my preference, I think, is the RI. I don't know. I just think that's a really nice look at Ultra Magnus and Optimus Prime. And I don't know. It just, something about that one just calls to me.
Yeah.
But
I do like the Optimus and Ultra Magnus. But the one thing is that I really appreciated the cover tying more into the story. So that's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one is sweet. The Optimus and Ultra Magnus look really awesome.
Yeah, unfortunately, because I never get to my store in time to get the RI covers, cover A is the cover I got, so I'm glad that I like it. All right, let's get into the story. The title of this is Lord of Misrule, Test Flight 1. 40 cycles after the fall of Iacon, Flatline is the only medic remaining after Hoist and Ratchet left, not wanting to serve the Decepticons. Flatline doesn't care who a bot serves, he'll just try to save their lives. In this case, he's looking over Provoke as he explains her situation to Cyclonus. It's not good. She's been in stasis for 2 megacycles, and her mind might have been corrupted by being in stasis for that long. He'll still do all he can. In Crystal City, Ultra Magnus has returned to Cybertron after his long journey. Optimus Prime greets him and starts letting him know everything that's happened. Iacon has fallen. The Decepticons have also taken Tarn, Stanix, and the Tegan Heights. The Autobots that are being led by Pyromagna are currently fighting back as they retreat in Protohex, trying to save as many people as they can. Wheeljack and Hound are using Darkmount as a refuge, but Optimus isn't convinced that Megatron will respect its neutrality. The Autobots are outgunned and have a distinct tactical deficiency. Ultra Magnus tells Prime that he serves the government, but Megatron has taken that away, so he's going to follow Optimus in his resistance. At the Academy of Applied Technology, Perceptor is trying to amplify Jumpstream's teleportation power. Jumpstream has volunteered for this, but gets worried when she hears that it uses Nucleon. However, Perceptor doesn't think it's enough that will cause a mode lock. When they test it, she suddenly appears outside the building in front of Sideswipe and Strongarm. Then she disappears and reappears in front of Perceptor again. Then she jumps again and again. She has a tracker, so Perceptor can see that she's jumped halfway across the planet until it disappears again and she's no longer located on Cybertron at all. She travels through unspace and lands on a familiar but unknown landscape. As she gets her bearings, she sees the heads of Pyromagna, Ultra Magnus, Cup, and Strika on spikes. Then she sees the familiar face of Sunstreaker, but he's being controlled by a Voyn Asserter. It demands that she be silent, as she's taken before Megatron, Onslaught, and Shockwave. However, it isn't them at all. It's Exarchon, the Threefold Spark, in control of their bodies. So this was... it's the start of this new arc, and it's very much a setup issue. Not much action at all, other than Jumpstream's thing at the end where she's going from place to place. It does. There's a textbook bit at the beginning that kind of is like, saying where we are, what happened. And it does explain that Exarchon was known as the Threefold Spark. In the past, we thought that was like a whole faction, or we didn't really know what it was. So it is kind of weird that we're given that explanation in text, not in the story. But it does play out at the end. And I guess it's just kind of to let us know the same entity is in control of all three bodies. I do kind of like this. I love kind of multiversal type stories, and I am looking forward to seeing where it goes with that, especially with as she goes through Unspace, we see a character who is like, what, who, what? And so I think that's going to play into it as well. I'm looking forward to seeing where it's going. But this was kind of hard to get through just from the pacing. I feel like we're a broken record, but it was just very slow getting through this. Again, I enjoy the concepts, but the execution continues to suffer. The art I thought was really good though. And when I was looking at the credits, I remember that Angel Hernandez was originally supposed to be the artist on this series when it kicked off in 2019. And for whatever reason, he had to back out. I'm not sure what happened, but nice to see him, you know, on half of this book. And I mean, I thought the art was great from both artists. No real issues there. I thought the coloring was great. So overall, I mean, the writing is still kind of hit or miss on pacing. This one was kind of a miss, but concepts are great. Daryl, let's get you out of the way. I can already kind of expect you're going to have similar thoughts on the writing.
You think you know me?
I think I do.
Well, I mean, I was not super happy with the writing. You got me there. It was pretty slow to start. I did find myself kind of thinking, like, what is happening with this book? Like, why are they just chatting away? I was actually really happy with the first page. I was like, holy shit, they're going to talk about this, whatever the hell their name is.
Exarchon?
Provoke. I was like, God, they're gonna answer this storyline. They're going to fill this gap in. And that was just one page. And then now we're still waiting. So at least it's continuing, I guess. This book brought in a lot of stuff. You know, it brought Ultra Magnus back in from Galaxies. You know, we saw a little bit about what's happening in the Escape book. And we saw, you know, it's bringing all the other books together, or at least it's placing the other books and saying, okay, well, this has happened. Here's this person from this book, and there's these guys from this book, and it's all kind of converging. And I appreciated that. Now, there was an awful lot of chatting, you know. In other Transformers media, character like Bumper, nobody would really care that he got a new arm. He would have just got a fixed arm. You know, he would have got his arm fixed and replaced, and he'd be on his way. This new arm had better come into play at some point and do something with it.
Because you're going to call something out like that.
You better do something with it, exactly. So I don't know what's going on with this. If it doesn't, then it's a complete waste of a page. A single page here is dedicated to Bumper and his arm.
It's setting him up with his role model,
I guess. Maybe that's it. But
we'll have a new miniseries, Bumper's New Arm.
I do like that they did touch on how who is it? Which guy is it here? I'm looking at the page right now. Sunstorm. They still have Sunstorm in this vat, and you know he's far too toxic. Yeah. Oh yeah. I know. So Sunstorm is far too toxic to come out, and you know their Shockwave is actually trying to figure out what's going on with them. Probably to use it to their advantage, but you know he wants out of this vat, and you know, the art on that page was actually really good. When Jumpstream started to bounce around, I actually really enjoyed those. It was like, you know, it was like our intro was written. It was very much like a Quantum Leap kind of thing, only it wasn't one day here, one day there. It was seconds in one spot and then, you know, seconds in another spot. I did like how it was kind of portrayed in the art, and it looked really good. Now, I will disagree with you that Anna Malkova's art, I thought, was far superior to Angel Hernandez's art. You definitely could tell when the switch was made, and I thought that Angel Hernandez's art was far rougher than Anna Malkova's art. And there's a place for that kind of stuff. It's just, it's, you know, I thought going half and half, it seemed odd. Now, maybe that's best for this planet. Maybe that's best for whatever this dimension is, I guess, is that's where we're going. And you know, maybe it'll serve this particular storyline well if it ends up being that this is where the dimension, you know, the art on this dimension is this way, and then it kind of gets better, like, you know, when they get back. I definitely thought that the Anna's art was superior on her side of it. I'm interested to see what this Ex-Archon character is all about. One mind and three bodies, you know, kind of a deal. Sure, whatever. There's an awful lot of other questions that aren't answered yet in this story, so why not add another question?
All right, Epic, what was your thought on this?
Now, I am a bit behind on this series and stuff, but I did read, like, the intro about what's going on, right? And so what I found is, I found some of the switches they did, like, when they went to, like, the next scene, basically, but it was all, like, a whole different setup. I found it a bit jarring at some points. I was like, I didn't know if it was supposed to lead into the next page or whatever. But overall, I was fairly entertained. It was like you've all said, it was a lot of setup, right? This whole jumping, going through either dimensions or time or whatever's going on there. I thought it was really neat. And like Daryl said, I had a lot of fun just watching her go through these different places and stuff, and then it'll only be a few seconds. And, you know, they set it up perfectly where you knew it wasn't going to go well because of what Perceptor had to say about it. It'll be fine. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it. I liked the artwork of it. But overall, like y'all said, it's a setup. I'm very curious to see where it goes with her jumping through the dimensions and time or whatnot. They've got me intrigued. I'm intrigued by it. Some of those random just one pagers of like, here's a random snippet of story. I was just like, okay. But that's, I blame that on me not just being up to speed on where this is at. So, yeah.
All right, and Charles.
So I do give points to this story for being relatively self-contained in the sense that it's, you know, it's a part one and then part two will continue this. It sets things up with, you know, we're kind of at now at the status quo of the war. We're in the middle of the war. The Autobots are really reduced to just being a, you know, a resistance force. They're not even really they're not able to match the Decepticons at all. So, it's a good setup. The difference between Anna Malkova and Angel Hernandez's art is very striking. Although I do think his art works for this kind of alternate dimension version where it is supposed to be like rougher, grittier, more severe than the current Transformers universe. So I think that works, even though I do prefer Anna Malkova's art to Angel Hernandez's art. I think the story was fine. Yeah, it's definitely a setup. It's, you know, just to get things going. But I do like the premise of having Jumpstream being sent to another reality where Exarchon is still alive. And I'm hoping we do get some more backstory in this whole Exarchon thing, because it's been kind of in the background, in the shadows throughout the whole run. I mean, we're at issue 31 of the series, and this Exarchon was apparently this motivation for the previous Civil War, which it gets brought up and mentioned from time to time, but you're not really clear on what exactly happened. So maybe this is leading into us getting some more explanation as to what actually happened with Exarchon and how his threefold spark was able to, like, I guess, take over other Transformer bodies or something. It's still not clear what it meant by the threefold spark and what he could do and how that worked. So I hope we get more information about that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's still continuing. I do think the comic is better than it has been, but I still would like to see more, more events per book, and instead of saving them for, like, you know, ends of arcs.
Yeah, so, I mean, with these, there's always the hope, and just keeps going. but yeah, I'm hoping that they use Angle's art as, like, they used Livio's art in the previous thing, where he was doing almost anything set in the past, they would use his art. And I think that would be a good distinction. But yeah, that is Transformers 31. We have a bunch of other comics in the queue, so hopefully, even if there are delays, we're still way behind, so we're good. That is it for our comics review.
All right, and we will move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, in Media News this week, not a whole heck of a lot going on, but we got a couple things about the Netflix show coming up. We got a few more promotional images from Kingdom, and you can take a look at those here. We got a Decepticon and a Predacon image with Megatron and Soundwave and Megatron. And we got a Autobots and Maximals image with Optimus and Optimal. No, Optimus.
Optimus.
Eventually Optimal. Rhinox, Rat Trap, and what's the other one?
Tigatron.
No, the white one. Oh, Tigatron. Tigatron, right. I thought you said Megatron.
Your Beast Wars biggest fandom fan.
Shut up, you. there's those images there, and they're good, and you can use them for they're pretty high res, I think, so you could use them as backdrops or if you wanted to. They're pretty nice. We also got another trailer that you can use or you can watch for Kingdom. This is it reveals a battle between the Autobots and the Decepticons, so there you go. You can take a look at that. It's 2 minutes long, and it's kind of fun to watch. Gives you another look at the animation as well. And moving on to movie news, we've got some more stuff from Transformers 7, Rise of the Beast. These are photos from Montreal, where the filming is being taking place right now. And we've got some images of a couple Porsche 911s on the street. So these are sitting there, they're exactly the same, which is leaning to speculation that they're being used in the movie, and that also that this will be Mirage in the movie. No Jazz, because there is a theory running around, and I tend to agree with this, that producer extraordinaire Lorenzo de Bonaventura is still trying to maintain some semblance of a overarching universe for all these movies, and in his mind, Jazz is dead, so he can't use Jazz. Same way you didn't get Starscream in the Bumblebee movie, and so in his mind, Jazz is dead. Can't use Jazz as a name.
Jazz die in 2007, not in the 90s when this takes place.
I don't know, man. Problem is that he isn't here yet, so he can't be used.
Oh,
So these will be Mirage. He's a silver Porsche, and I mean, this is a cool Porsche, but yeah. There's going to be a lot of this stuff. I'd love to visit the set. I mean, I'm 6 hours away from the set. So I'd love to visit the set myself, but, you know, there's still a lot of COVID protocol going on. So I don't know. Maybe, I mean, it's filmed outside, so I guess I could just walk around, but you got to know when that stuff's going. I'm not driving 6 hours just to walk around outside. But yeah, that's it for media news.
All right, and we will finish up the show with convention news.
All right, we've got a few things here in convention news. The first is we recently told everyone about Renegade Con 2021, which is put on by Renegade Game Studio, who's doing the new RPG for Transformers and for other Hasbro properties. They are actually postponing Renegade Con to August 27th and 28th. This is a virtual convention, so it'll likely be on YouTube and other sites. But we will now talk about it again closer to August 27th and 28th. They said there were global logistical issues, so makes me think there's physical product involved that they want to get worked out before they actually put on a show, which is with a virtual event, I guess it's more easily moved than physical. So we'll look forward to hearing more about the actual game in August. So next thing we have, TF Nation is starting to announce who's going to be at their big broadcast of 2021 next month. And the first person the next person they've announced is Matt Ferguson. He's a UK artist. And if you remember that, Zavvi store that had the 86 movie, they have prints and shirts and stuff. They are all featuring his art. He's done his take on like the movie poster for the 86 movie. And I think it looks fantastic. And he will be joining them on the big broadcast. That will be August 13th and 14th. So we'll be looking forward to seeing what they do with him and for any other announcements that they have. And then finally, TFCon Baltimore has announced Hal Rail is going to be there. He was the voice of Snarl and Shrapnel in G1 and... this will be October 22nd through 24th. So looking forward to seeing him back. And also, if you haven't heard it, we talked with Colin from TFCon earlier this week and talked all about TFCon Baltimore and some of the protocols and stuff that they're expecting. But, you know, everything can change between now and October. But it was a great talking to Colin, and he's seemed very optimistic about conventions, both into this year and going into the future. So make sure you check that out. That is it for convention news.
All right, and that takes us to the end of the show. So as always, we end our episode, every episode of Transmissions and Transmissions Alt Mode with a shout out to our Masterpiece Donatrions. So thank you so much to John4x11good and Dinobot Maximize for continuing to support the show. We really appreciate it. And you can also help us out by buying some merchandise from our TeePublic store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. We've got lots of awesome shirts, masks, other merchandise. And if you want to buy anything from TeePublic, use our link, transmissionspodcast.com/shop, and that helps out the show. Epic, thanks again for joining us this week. And tell everyone where they can find you online.
Yeah, you can head on over to epicsuicide.com. That's epyksuicide.com. And there you'll find all my links.
All right, then that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Release the button!
I'm seeing the little wiggly thing.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah, I was. I felt bad because I was. You were like the angel of death, and I was. You were doing all the deceased people. So. Oh wait, let me check my.
Are you recording?
My backup's going. Okay. Yeah, no, I am recording. I was checking my backup. I always have a backup. I want to double check my backup.
Is it recording?
My main recording is. Yes, it is recording. All right, and that's it for. Oh, sorry. Let me. I unmuted myself and then didn't prepare for what I was going to say. Got tongue-tied. Sorry.